Have your Bibles tonight and we'll turn, please, to the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Book of Ruth, chapter number 1. We'll read a few verses here, try to give you what I feel is on our heart, and trust that the Lord will help us. I do understand that sometimes it's hard to follow a service like we have this morning. But as I've said already, I'm glad the Lord knew exactly what we needed this morning. He knows exactly what we need tonight. And I trust that He will help us and that we can leave better than we come because of what God has done. And maybe someone or many of us can find strength and help in this hour. My heart's desire is to be a help and a blessing to you tonight, if the Lord will help us to do so. And you'd pray for us that He would help us tonight. Ruth chapter number 1, when you found your place, and if you're physically able, we'll stand together. Of course, by standing, we're just showing reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Ruth chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Very familiar scripture that we'll read into your hearing. About everybody in the building, I'm sure, at least in part, knows about this story. But we'll just read the first 5 verses and try to give you what's on our heart tonight. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Oftentimes we read from the book of Ruth, and in reality, and I don't know how many will understand this, but when you take a text from the book of Ruth, it's one of those books in the Bible. It's a short book, 4 chapters, I think, and it's one of those books that you can read from any place in it, but it's hard not to preach the entire story from beginning to end. But I'm not so much interested really, or it's not on my heart to preach about all of the things that happened in this story. We all know at least in part the story about that we read into your hearing, how they leave Bethlehem, Judah, and go to Moab, how the father and the 2 sons die, how that Ruth there is found in Naomi's family, and they come back. The Orpah stays behind. Ruth follows Naomi back to Bethlehem, Judah, when they find out that there's bread again in Bethlehem, that the Lord's business people, the Bible said, and giving them bread, and all the things that happen about how that Ruth goes out to glean and finds herself in Boaz's field by the providence and the hand of God. The Bible said it was her hap to light on a portion of the field which belonged to the man named Boaz. And that word hap is not just happenstance or chance or luck, but it is divine order of God that she found herself in Boaz's field. And we all know, as somebody said, we know the rest of the story. How that Boaz redeems her, takes her, becomes her husband, goes into her. She births a son. They call his name Obed. And then they go on down, or call his name Salmon, then Obed, then Jesse. then David, and out of Ruth and out of Boaz come the lineage of Christ, and she's recognized for the rest of history, just this Moabitish damsel that nobody thought anything about, that nobody cared about, but God cared about her, and she found favor in the eyes of God, and God put her in the lineage of Christ. That's a good type and a picture of us. It's a good type and a picture of the Gentile bride, that we were nothing. The Bible said we were strangers and aliens away from the commonwealth of Israel and estranged from God. The Jews hated us, called us dogs, but by the birth of Christ and the rejection of Christ by the Jews, God had a plan from the beginning to put us in the family. Paul said that now God had broken down the middle wall of partition and made of one family both Jew and Gentile and put us all in the family of God. Thank God for that. I'm glad that's why we have hope that we preached about this morning, is that God had a plan from the beginning, and the plan wasn't just in some steps or in a plan, but it was in a person, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are the week before Christmas. Christmas is coming just a few days, and that's a day that we've set aside to celebrate His birth. But I'm glad He didn't just come to stay a baby in a manger. And a lot of people, they come to church at Christmas time, but I'm going to tell you what, if they can't get past the baby in a manger, they'll never get it. He didn't come to stay a baby. He didn't come to stay a man. He didn't come just to be a man among men. He didn't come just to be the God-man, but He came to die and to give His life for all men. And He didn't just come to die, but He said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. And He got up on that third morning. You say, well, I thought it's all about the dead. Well, that's part of it. But Paul said, if Christ be not raised, then our faith in vain. But I'm glad He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He ascended back to the Father, applied His own blood on the mercy seat. He become our intercessor. And because of that, we have hope. That's right. Thank God. But here we are. Some 2,000 years have passed since the Lord came. And there's been a lot of things that have happened between then and now. And I want to say, as it was in the scripture that we read tonight, what I'm interested in, God would help me for just a few minutes, is the fact that the Bible records in verse number 1 that there was a famine in the land. I want to preach tonight, if God would help me, on how to survive in the famine. Here we have a story or an account or a record of a famine in which 3 died and 1 survived. I'm going to say it's not the only famine that we find recorded in the Bible, but many, many others are recorded. But I want to go beyond a thirst for water and a hunger for bread. And I want to get down to where we live tonight. In Amos chapter 8 and verse number 11, the Bible said there'd come a day, saith the Lord, that He had sent a famine in the land. And it wouldn't be a hunger for bread or a thirst of water, but it'd be a famine of hearing of the words of the Lord. And that's where we are. And we've got many in our day that are refusing to hear. They're not interested in hearing. He didn't say there'd be a famine of the preaching of the Word of God. He said there'd be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. One old preacher said, and this was his opinion, but I've thought about it a lot over the years, and he said that he reads in the Word of God, and it is there, the Bible said, God said that His Word would not return unto Him void. Ain't that right? It's in the book. And we was talking one day about all these
older men of God that have blazed the trail, that seemingly are slipping out to meet God and leaving us behind in our day. And he said he believed that God was just staying true to his word. And when they refused to hear, God wouldn't let his word return void. He'd just take the preachers out along with the preaching of the word of God. What a thought. I'm going to say that's probably right. I don't know for sure, but I think he's on to something there. So many are still trying to preach. I know there's a bunch out there that have sold out the gospel for another. And Paul said it's not another gospel. But they've sold out for some other message. But there are still some that are trying to stand and preach the truth. But so many refuse to hear the word of God. Many won't hear. Many in our day, the battle's getting hot. And they're giving up in the heat. Many in our day are losing heart. They're not interested. Their heart's not in it like it used to be. They don't have the desire. And it's been dealt with in the Sunday school hour for weeks now. We've dealt with it in the preaching. And I believe God's trying to renew inside of us the desire that it's going to take to make it in these days. So I want to say there's a lesson to be learned in surviving a famine. Many times in the Word of God, we read about famine. Some die and some survive. I want to say in our day of 2019, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. That's not what I'm preaching on tonight. I'm talking about that many are becoming a casualty of the famine that we're living in. They're quitting, going to the house, shutting the book, laying it down. They lost heart, lost the desire to go. They fell out by the wayside. They refused to hear. And it's costing us in the famine. But we can survive. I'm going to say, and I'm not trying to be a bearer of bad news or try to be a prophet of doom and gloom tonight. I'm going to say that this famine that God has spoke about will last until we get out of here. I believe it's going to be a famine from now until the Lord calls us home. I don't believe there's suddenly going to be a change and everybody want to hear the gospel. But I'm afraid it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And so if that's right, we better fortify ourselves for the famine. We better find some strength so we can survive. I don't want to become a casualty of our day. Do you? I don't want to fall victim to all the things that are going on and be another one of them that just don't want to hear or tries to find a new way. I don't want to kick out on God and go, well, you know what happened here in this story? If you study about Moab, it was outside the land of Canaan, outside the promised land, and Moab dwelt on the edge of the wilderness. That's what's happening in our day. Many are leaving the old time way. And they're leaving the true fundamental houses of God. And they're trying to live on the edge of the wilderness. Because it's got a little tide. Because it might have got a little dry. Everybody wants it to be fluffy clouds and the babbling brooks. And I'm glad for services like this morning. And I'm not trying to play it down. But it may not be like that every time. And when it ain't like that, we can't quit and go to the house. We've got to stick it out. There's something around the bend for us. Many people come to the house of God, and when it ain't what they like, they go on and find somewhere else. And the more they go, and the more they go, and the closer to the wilderness they get, and before long they're living in Moab on the edge of the wilderness. And they're eating what the world has to offer. Men trying to come to the house of God. And when they get to the house of God, they're not hungry because they've already filled up on what the world has. God help us. There may be days it gets hot. There may be days it gets dry. Sometimes the handfuls are few and far in between. But we'll say, well, what's right? God will see to it we make it through. So you say, how can we survive? if others are dying. We read tonight about Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech. They all died. And the Bible said that Naomi was left of her sons and her husband. But she survived. Then there are others in the Word of God. But when famines came and others died, and they survived. I begin to think we can draw some great strength and help if we'll take notice of those that came out on the other side of the famine. I got to thinking about old Elijah. When God came to him, he just suddenly appears on the scene. We don't know much about him other than he's a Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead. We don't know who his parents are. Don't know anything about his upbringing. He just suddenly appears and points his finger in the face of the king and said, God said it's not going to rain and the dew's not going to fall because of your wicked house. For the space of 3 years and 6 months, it don't rain and the dew don't fall. And you can imagine here in the mountains we've spent some weeks and months even without any rain. Everything begins to dry up. Everybody starts wringing and twisting their hands, worrying about the crops and worrying about the grass. But can you imagine 3.5 years with no rain and no dew? The next time the light comes on Ahab, him and Obadiah's down there. One's going one way and one's going the other. And he said, let's see if we can find a little grass that will lose not all the animals. Everybody's dying. Everything's a-dying. But oh, in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of everybody running over each other on the bread aisle at the grocery store, in the midst of everybody maxing out their credit cards just to buy groceries to make it through, down there by the brook Cherith, there's a man of God that we don't know much about. He's not that high esteemed. Nobody likes him. Nobody cares about him. But God's feeding him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he's got a brook to drink out of. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that exactly how God is for us? David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm glad in this day, in 2019, when Washington turned upside down, and the White House is turned upside down, and the world's turned upside down, and everybody's wondering what they're going to do, and how they're going to make it. I ain't thought a thing about it, have you? I ain't wondered what I'm going to do. I've not wondered how I'm going to make it, because God has taken care of us. You know how Elijah survived the famine when nobody else did? He just got there. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you go to 1 Kings chapter 17. The Bible said the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, arise and get thee down to the brook Cherith and dwell there. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. In other words, God said, I've done got it all worked out. I've got a place just for you. And if you'll get in your place, I'll take care of you. But Elijah could have said, no, I don't like that brook. I don't like those surroundings. I don't like that area. I want to go somewhere else. And he could have went somewhere else and he'd have been a casualty in the famine. You can believe what you want to. I believe if Elijah would have went somewhere else, I think the ravens would have still dropped off his bread and his flesh every morning and evening at the brook, and the brook would have still rolled on. But Elijah, if he is going to make it, had to get where God said for him to be. And you and I, we have a place. Every one of us. I know there's a general place. I know that we are here a collective body and this is our place. But everybody inside this body has a place where God wants you to be. And if you'll get in your place and find you're there, God will take care of you. I know I found that to be right. There are some days when you don't think much of your place. There are some days when your place don't look too good. But I'm glad when the raven drops off the bread and the flesh, I'm glad for my place. There have been some days I wondered if the ravens would ever fly again. But about the time I was ready to give up, here they come again. Kind of like this morning, I was about ready to close my Bible, say, let's go to the house. But I'm glad God knew better. And God sent what we needed right on time. Just get there. I read about another famine in the book of Judges, chapter number 6. When because of the sin of the people of God, that the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east come up and destroy the land, destroy all the increase of the earth. The Israelites would plant in the harvest, and about harvest time the crops would come in, and the enemy would come and take it all away. The Bible said the children of Israel were greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And that word impoverished has more to do than to be without food. But it means that they were without strength. That they felt like they were without hope. Have you ever felt that way? If you get to looking around in our circumstances of our day, you'll just about convince yourself that's how it is. And they made themselves dens in the rocks and the mountains to hide from the Midianites. Now I'm going to tell you, it troubles me, but I believe I look around in our day and the people of God, we've made ourselves some holes and some caves, and we feel like all we can do is hide out till the Lord comes. But that ain't the will of God for us. That's not what He wants us to do. But I read down yonder in the Laurel Valley, down there by the wine press, there's a man by the name of Gideon, and he ain't got a whole lot, just a little bit of wheat, but he's a threshing what he's got, doing what he can with what he has, and God visits him. You say, how we survived the famine? Well, you need to get there. Wherever you're there, He is. And you need to keep threshing wheat. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I don't know much about Gideon, but I believe he knew what it was and how to thresh wheat. And so he looked around and he thought, well, everybody else is going to starve to death and nobody else is going to help my family. And he said, I ain't got a lot. But he said, I'm going to do what I can. I stick with what I know. I stay with what I have and see if God won't help us. Look around in our day. Many people are going this way and going that. The mega churches are booming. The contemporary movements are booming. And the old time churches are falling away. But I sure am glad for a little handful of wheat. And that we'll just stick with what we got. And stick with what we know. We ought to know enough after this morning to know that God's in what we're doing. And that God's interested in us. Nobody may not come, some may leave. But let's just stick with what we got. And stick with what we know. And God will see us through to the end. I read where he paid Gideon a visit when he didn't pay anybody else one. Ain't that right? I don't read where he visited anybody else, but the Bible said Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press under oak there that was in Ophrah, and the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the tree. And he had a conversation with Gideon. And he said, the Lord's with you, you mighty man of valor. Just when Gideon's ready to throw in the towel, the Lord came by and said, it's all right. I'm still here. And I'm still God. I don't know what did for you this morning, but it's about like that for me. God come by and He said, I just want to let you know again that I'm still here and I'm still God. And that'll help us make it through the famine. Just get there. Keep threshing wheat. And I want to say, and I'm done tonight, keep trusting Joseph. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you read over in the book of Genesis about that dream that Joseph interprets for Pharaoh. He said, there's 7 good years, but they're going to be followed by 7 years of famine. He said, if you'll lay up in the good years, It'll be enough to last you through the bad years. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'm not trying to live in yesteryear, but I'm glad for those that come on before my time and they laid up some things for me. I sure am glad for those that have blazed the trail and are still holding the line, that have laid up some things that I can lean on and rest in and know. But even above all of that, the Pharaoh appointed Joseph, put him head, and he said, when you need anything, just go to Joseph. Whatever he says, do it. I'm going to tell you, I don't know, there've been days when I couldn't go to nobody else. They've been days I've went to others and they've helped me and they've encouraged me. And I'm not taking anything away from the brethren. I want to go on record and say I'm glad for the brethren. I'm glad for some that love one another and care about one another. I'm glad for friends in this life. I came home from the hospital last night and I was in a tailspin. I didn't know how I was going to go this morning. It felt like a failure. I text one of my preacher brethren. I said, I need some help. And he texted back. He could have texted some long reply and some great swelling words. But he texted me back and he said, God ain't failed you yet and He'll come through again for you. I sure am glad for brethren like that. Oh, he could have told me a lot of things that sounded good. But what he told me helped my heart. And what he said to me is there's hope. And it started working in my heart that there's hope. I'm glad for a Joseph that'll take care of us in the famine. That when nobody else can help you. When you feel like you don't have anybody else to turn to. Pharaoh said, just go to Joseph. When they come, old Pharaoh had a position and Pharaoh had authority. And I believe personally in that scripture, he's a good type and a picture of the man of God. We have a position and we have some authority that's been granted to God to help some folks in the famine. But there comes a time when we can't do anything and all we can say is go to Joseph. He can help you. I sure am glad I don't read anywhere in that story where Joseph ever ran out. I don't read anywhere where Joseph ever turned anybody away. A matter of fact, his own brethren that sold him into slavery and treated him like an outcast and hated him, they came and he could have harbored hard feelings and said, you'll die in the famine for how you've treated me. But no, no, he said, don't even take their money. I'll give them what they want. I don't know about you, but I've went to him sometimes and I've treated him awful bad. Now, I ain't been faithful and I've let him down. And he could have easily said, you can't have anything. You're just going to have to die in the famine for what you've done and how you've treated me. But I'm glad for every time I've opened the sack. There ain't just been corn in there. But he put the money back in the sack. And I say, you don't owe me anything. You can't buy this. I'm just taking care of you like I said I would. There been some days there ain't just been corn and money in the sack. And I sure can't preach it like Brother Tonkin did, if any of you ever heard the message. But I'm glad every now and again there's been a cup in the sack. And he said, when you get home, he said, I'd like to do a little. That's a type of fellowship. He said, I wouldn't just like for you to eat it. But he said, when you eat, would you think of me? And would you talk to me? Would you come where I am and spend some time with me? I'm glad for a Joseph that'll see us through the famine. I want to say in this day, and I'm done tonight, in this day of deserters, in this day of famine, in this day of so many deaths and casualties, when so many are not making it through, I'm glad we can survive in the famine. If we'll just get where we ought to be, and if we'll just be what we ought to be, and if we'll just stick with what we know, and if we'll just trust Joseph, trust our heavenly Joseph, He'll take care of us and He'll see us through. He'll open the storehouse and pour you out a blessing you can't contain. He won't just let you live mouthful to mouthful. But He'll lay your wagon down and let you know He's still God. And He'll bring you through. And I'm glad we don't have to die in the famine. I'm glad we don't have to be in Elimelech or a Mahlon or a Chilion. We don't have to get sick. We don't have to pine away. But we can live, and we can live well even in the midst of a famine, because our God is taking care of us. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, tonight for this privilege to have been in Your house.